going on.
Doing a whole big thing for their show tomorrow on Dan White moving down south.
Yeah.
And I understand you spoke at a rally
at
Union Square, and I wondered if you'd tell us a little bit about the rally for our program.
Well, the rally, the purpose of the rally, of course, was to protest the continuing injustice of Dan White's crime and sentence and his release and the failure of the system to act in a way that would ever deter or discourage that kind of behavior, and to show us, to channel the outrage, to move us from spending and wasting our time on him to investing our time in far better things. And those were the purposes of the rally, as I see it.
Did you have a good turnout?
It was pretty good. I would say Union, I'm no crowd estimator, I will tell you, but I would say the crowd at Union Square at noon was numbered in the early thousands, and when the crowd moved down into the downtown area to protest and so forth, it grew to several thousand, and I think the police estimate was 5, and they're always about 2 or 3 low. So it was a good crowd. Last night, I understand, it was a much larger group. I was not there. I was not out in the evening in the Castro, but I know that the protests continued and grew in number.
Mm-hmm. The newspapers talk about tension in San Francisco. Is there a perceptible amount of tension?
Well, yes, I do. I do think there's tension. There's tension in the sense that we all feel so much anger and so much hurt. And that pain and that anger is very hard to channel. It's hard to pick up and say, we cannot cure this with an act of violence of our own, and so where shall we go? What shall we do? And in that sense, there's tension. I think that the fact that Dan White has indicated that he intends at the end of his 1 year's period in Los Angeles to move back here is a source of tension as well. That somehow deeply defies the sentiment of the community of his wrongdoing, and I think that there's tension about that.
What kind of legacy did Dan White leave in San Francisco, do you think?
Well, he took two of our most beloved and powerful leaders at a time when they were moving others and progressing with others toward a very real understanding of lots of different kinds of discrimination, not only against gays and lesbians, but other oppressed groups. He took two fine human beings away from us, and he did so in a way that was not just real for them and their families and all, but symbolic. One gets into personal politics at this point. I believe that Mayor Feinstein has made real efforts not to lose some of the contributions of those people, but she is not those people. She is someone else. And so I think there will always be a little, if not bitterness, at least disappointment that we have had our leadership forced upon us by those killings to a degree. Although she certainly has earned support, and rightly so, in her own right since that time. Beyond that, I think that Dan White's killings, if one can do this, and I'm not sure it isn't too soon, maybe in 100 years we can, but I think that the killings have proved useful, if one can use that word, in the sense of raising consciousness. I know that the attorney for Harvey Milk's estate, John Wall, has said at least this has caused some people to take not only gay people, but politically progressive people more seriously, and I think that's true. Beyond that, it's hard to say what all the ramifications have been. It's beyond me. I can only offer a little piece of it.
Do you think, in your estimation, was the rally a success?
The one yesterday was a success,
mm-hmm.
In many senses, in the sense that a number of people of varying persuasions, outlooks, experiences came out and said this is wrong, and we're not going to relax for it. We're not going to allow it to be normal. We're not going to pretend that all this is fine and business as usual. It was useful and successful, I think, in the sense of people talking to one another about what to do, how shall we respond. And I think there's a consensus, and a very real one, a very deep one, that what we shall do is dedicate ourselves so that this city and this society shall never again elect a person such as Dan White to office, and shall try to drive the fascists from our midst. I think that's a very real commitment, and I think that's the result not just of yesterday, but of a long series of things.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you use the word consensus. In Los Angeles, I'm getting a sense that there is a split growing among those who want to see a big, massive demonstration really protesting the fact that whites come here, is here, and another group that says, he has
I think you're right. I think there are differences about the memes. But I think...
No, when you use that word, it just clicked with me, because I think what I've been getting all day is one set of people saying that, another set of people saying, Dan White isn't, he's just one individual, he isn't the problem.
Yeah, well, he is the problem, because he does represent and symbolize the worst, the very worst of homophobia and bigotry and xenophobia and craziness and violence and horror. And so he is indeed. But the other side of it is that I think that in the long run we will waste our time if all we do is protest. We have to do more. Protest we have to do when we have to come together and know that it is important and right and positive to get up and say, this is outrageous, this is wrong, he committed murder and he got away with it. He was not punished by the system, he was virtually rewarded. But we can't stop there. And we have to go on and say, how do we take care of ourselves now? What do we do about AIDS? What do we do about job discrimination? What about the day-to-day, everyday injustice against gay men and lesbians, against other groups, disabled people and seniors and women and so on, that unite us in something more than protest? So what I'm talking about is a consensus not to be stuck on Dan White as an individual, but to recognize and never forget the horror of his behavior and the horror of the system's reaction.
Do you think Dan White ever could come back to San Francisco?
Well, I don't know whether the man will come back here or not. I can't say. I know that he will be profoundly unwelcome. I know that his presence will cause distraction and unrest. I think that his coming back will be an act of provocation on his part. And I think he knows that. I think he recognizes that. Here's a remorseless man, a cold-blooded, remorseless killer, who says, I'm coming back to stand up there and let you look at me again. I think that that's an act of provocation. And, we don't have a legal system that exiles people anymore. I guess the right word is exiles people. But if we did have a legal system that created an option of exile, his would be an appropriate case to consider it, I think.
I think it's significant that the correction officials said they were looking for a place to put him out of state, but no other state would allow it.
Well, he is in the most terrifying sense of the term, a man without a country, and he ought to be.
Los Angeles Radio.
He ought to be without a country and without a world until he changes, if he ever could. And I can't say. But he's shown no compassion for the families of the people he killed. He's shown no compassion for the causes and the people that he violently attacked. How could anyone welcome him back? How could anyone say, oh, Dan White, well, you did your time. He didn't do his time. He didn't do anything else either except commit wrongs and be forgiven for them. Or at least be allowed to do them without the appropriate, proper measure of punishment and deterrence. So, will he come back to San Francisco? I guess that's going to be up to him. Will he be welcome here? Never, I doubt. Not unless he is a wholly different person, and that seems to me very unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to believe it to be otherwise,
Yeah.
I really would. I'd love to believe that the man could feel what he has done and feel the wrong of it and be aware of it.
I don't know if he's capable of it.
I don't know. I don't know enough about, the boundaries of the human consciousness. It's so hard for me to imagine anyone doing what he did to begin with that I don't know how he could come to understand the wrong and be remorseful and seek forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly doesn't seem to show any sign of any attitude like that.